The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
All right, Rod and I are back here on a Sunday evening after the 49ers lost in a pretty disappointing fashion, I would say, to the Kansas City Chiefs. One team looked like a possible Super Bowl contender and maybe Super Bowl favorite, and the other team did not, though. The NFC is kind of average right now. The I saw the Vikings got their first loss this year. So the Niners are still kind of in the mix. But, Rod, where are you coming from tonight?
I am in Baker, California.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Yeah, so I had stopped to watch the game, and then I figured, you know, I would make it here in plenty of time to get set up, but I hit traffic and it was just a mess. But I'm here and present, but it's been kind of harrowing, but it's good. This trip was kind of last minute.
Well, we will get this thing going, and we'll try and get you out of here soon enough, because I don't know how much you want to talk about this game. As we've done this podcast, I think I've said this before, it's kind of been therapeutic, because you can sit with a loss and be frustrated, or you can kind of talk about it and you can kind of go, oh, what? This is why this happened. This is why. And then you kind of feel better about it. It's like, you know, calling up a buddy or something after a game. But we'll try and get you out of here soon enough. Let's talk about the main theme of this game. To me, I looked at this game before the game actually started. I said, okay, obviously you want them to win. If they win, then they show that they have actually improved and that they've actually maybe figured some things out. And if they lose, which Kansas City, undefeated, still the best team in the league, you want to see some progress from the last times that they've played, and you want to see them figure some things out. The worst case scenario is actually what we got, which is we took a step backwards from everything that I could tell. And I know we're going to get to BA. We're going to get to Debo. Those were negative things that really they couldn't, you know, that didn't have, they were part of the reason they lost, but they were injuries, which are sort of unpredictable. And by the way, the Chiefs were without multiple players as well. So it's not like, you know, this was like a lopsided from the luck perspective. But I think we got the worst of all worlds, because they looked like they had not learned or figured out anything from the last time that these two teams had played.
Yeah. To piggyback on your point, if you play well and you lose, I mean, you don't feel as bad, but I mean, we kind of stunk up to join. And like you say, it was, I can't see any way you don't see it as sort of a regression after we had hoped that we maybe had turned a corner last week. This was not a good look at all.
So let's start with the things that we liked, because my list is very, very small. I mean, I think the highlight of the game for me was just seeing Ricky Pearsall out on the field. I think they said 50 days after being shot, he's back on the field. He had a few catches. He and Brock, you know, he's got a... There were moments where you're like, oh, like Brock wanted to do this and Ricky just could not do that. The two-point conversion was one of them where Brock looked like he keyed on Ricky very early and just threw it. And Ricky kind of got pushed backwards by the DB. And so, you know, they'll figure some things out as they play more. But just the fact that he was on the field today, that was awesome. I was so happy for him. You know, we watch football. You're being actually happy for someone who you don't know and being genuine about it is rare. It's like, oh, I'm happy because, yeah, you won the game and you didn't win. So I'm not happy. But like genuine happiness for this guy, young player who, you know, a bullet, some inches to the right or left, and it could have been bad news. And he's back on the field playing football today.
Yeah, so much of you're 100% right. So much of our happiness for them is tied to them giving us some sort of happiness. And this really didn't have anything to do with that. It was just sort of a celebration of the fact that he's overcome a lot over the past however many days. Not to mention, you know, we were talking in the Discord, not to mention that not only was he shot, but he had been dealing with a litany of injuries prior to that, and for him to make it all the way back is just really good for him. And you know, it's a miracle, and we throw that around a lot, but I mean, like you say, an inch to the left or the right, there aren't many ways. I saw it said there aren't many ways that you can get shot in the chest and not have something horrible happen.
The other thing, you know, I was kind of looking for, I don't know, looking for something to celebrate. And I'm not saying that George Kittle is back as like a top end receiving tight end, but he looked great today. And this is going to be one of my negatives, but if Brock Purdy doesn't underthrow him, at when he's wide open, George easily scores, and the score of this game might look a little different. I don't know if that would have actually changed the outcome, but George Kittle looked like he was, you know, he's kind of back in the way that we really enjoyed watching him with Jimmy. He's kind of like a number one target on some of these situations.
It's kind of hard to tell because the stat guys told us coming in that it was a good matchup for him. Apparently Kansas City is like third worst in, like, this is fantasy, but in giving up, you know, stats to tight end. So it was a good matchup for him, but he still has to go up there and execute. And he did. He looked really good. And like you say, as impressive as 6 for 92 is, it could have been a lot better, you know.
Yeah.
If, you know, we hit that one play. So yeah, it was a great performance for him. And I mean, we needed it, you know, as you said, we'll talk about, you know, our depleted the Avengers. We were once the Avengers. Now it's like, I don't know what we are.
We're like now. The Guardians of the Galaxy at this point.
Yeah, this is you know, I didn't hear anything. You know, I was stuck in my car after the game. So if you heard anything about, especially BA, because that looked horrible.
Yeah.
So
do you have any other positives?
Well, the secondary, the interceptions were, turnovers are good, especially Davis's. That was,
yeah.
It's always cool when you see the big guys get interceptions, but that was, you know, that was pretty much it. I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel. You know, you want to talk about Mitch averaging 48 yards per punt. Yeah, that's about it for me.
So, yeah, I guess if you really want to look a little bit more closely, you know, Jordan Mason had a pretty good second half after being bottled up in the first half. They started to do more things to try and open up lanes for him, and I thought he played pretty well. For the negatives, I guess we got to start with BA. So in the post-game press conference, Shanahan said the worry is ACL related. Mm. And I think I heard maybe in some of the other interviews that the players sort of believe that's what it is, but you know, we won't know until tomorrow, I'm sure. But if he is lost for the season, man, talk about the worst possible outcome for his holdout, the way that, you know, he started really slow. He had the bad drop today. I kind of wondered if like the sun was in his eyes, the way he tried to catch that ball. Brock put that ball on the money. There was a lot of air underneath it. It was almost like he was trying to make like an over the shoulder catch in baseball, but it was right there and he dropped it. And then to the injury, it couldn't have gone worse. I mean, look, he held out to get his money. You know, whatever the guarantee is, but someone was asking me today, who's not really caught up on football contracts and such, and he was just like, you know, like, what is the deal with when someone gets injured like that? And I said, look, the 49ers only have to pay him what they are obligated to pay him, guaranteed. Like, you know, they wouldn't do it for cap reasons necessarily, but you know, from his perspective, the injury is the last thing that he wants to happen. Just right. Because of the way football contracts work. So cross your fingers for BA. It doesn't sound great, but, you know, we'll have to wait for tomorrow. That's a big loss, though, because without him, I feel like they may have to make a trade to bring somebody in unless they just don't believe this is the year for them.
Yeah, I've been having those conversations over the past several weeks. I don't know this team at this point, especially when we know what's coming over the horizon contract wise for Brock. Can they really afford to part with any kind of draft capital? They really need all of that, you know, to build moving forward, unless, like you say, nothing about this whole offseason has said to me that they're all in on winning a Super Bowl this year. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how they move. And if, you know, it's hard to say punt on this season, but I guess stand pat would be more apropos, or you could look at it as, are they just going to see what the young guys have? Because they got a lot of run today. I mean, it was it was like you say, the Guardians of the Galaxy out there with Cowling and Conley. And, you know, it was good to see Purcell out there. But, I mean, it's not surprising that he didn't really do anything.
Yeah.
He didn't, you know, he wasn't really super sharp or anything.
They were pretty physical with him, too. It was almost like, yeah, welcome to the league, Rook. We're not, you know, great story, but we're here to beat you up a little bit to welcome you.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, rookie, and again, like you, what we forget when he gets shot is that it was never off the table. You know, I had heard that his shoulder is something that may still need to have surgery at some time on down the road. So it's not like that's something that we're past. So again, it's beautiful that he's out there, but again, I don't know moving forward how much it's fair to expect for him. I guess JJ, I don't think that his injury is like a long-term injury.
It sounds like they expect him next week.
Yeah, so that'll be help. But again, there's no sugarcoat in the fact that if BA is done for the season, that is a huge blow, that it's not realistic to think that any of these rookies are going to step in and fill that void, you know, Purcell or any of them. I mean, the fact that he's a first round pick, it's still a tall order to expect him to come in and, you know, fill in for someone who, although this season hasn't shown, you know, BA has been an all pro. So, I mean, those are huge shoes.
I'm assuming one of your things you didn't like is going to be Brock. So we might as well talk about Brock. We're kind of burying the lead here in waiting this long to talk about him. He was, and I would imagine he's an extension of Shanahan. They were both shook today. They had no solutions to what was happening out there on that field. And I, you know, early on, I was like, well, you know, let's set the, let's figure out, let's get play action going. And then I thought, I was like, well, maybe the reason they didn't really go to the play action in the first half is because they just couldn't really figure out Spags when he was going to blitz.
Right.
And they did it more in the second half. So maybe Kansas City with the lead, they were kind of sitting back a little bit on first and second down. So the Niners could do that a little bit more, but not until they threw, I want to say it was a wide receiver screen to Cowing at the end of the first half. Did I think that Shanahan really even tried to open up the playbook? They played about as vanilla of a first half as you're going to see from them. And I have to assume without knowing that it's because Spags has their number. It's kind of like, with the Giants, Mike Kruko always says ownage is ownage. Like, you can't really explain why one pitcher owns a hitter or why one hitter owns a pitcher, but Spags owns Shanahan. I mean, it's just clear as day to me. And Purdy being an extension of Shanahan, it was the most befuddled I've seen him ever. You know, he's had bad games before. The Ravens game was bad. That game, from my memory, was some of this, but also just really making some wild gunslinger decisions. This was more like, I really don't know who's open and I have to get rid of this football. And we'll talk about the Ronnie Bell one in a second, but have you ever seen Brock play this poorly?
No. And this was the first time, you know, Tom Brady, he's not great, but one thing he can give you is quarterback insight.
Sure.
And like, for example, he talked about on that BA pass that he definitely should catch it, but Brock was late.
Yeah.
It just seemed like, you know, I'm no quarterback expert, but it seemed like he was a little off, and it could have been the pressure. It could have been, you know, like you say, I think the thing with Spags is the fact that they are able to control the run, which if they don't have to respect the run, then play action really is not nearly as effective if, you know, the fake, they're not even honoring it because they figure that their front has got that pretty much sewed up. And it just seemed like there was pressure. And then it's one of those things that you see a lot with Brock, is that when there's pressure, not just Brock, but with other quarterbacks too, when there is relentless pressure, then there are times when they feel phantom pressure. So even if there isn't pressure, you know, they're just kind of sped up. And, you know, it just felt like he was just a little off all day long. And I don't know. It's got to be the worst that he's played. I can't think of another performance. I don't know if statistically that's true.
I think it's his worst. It's his worst QBR for sure.
Oh yeah,
that he's never had.
Yeah, and that kind of matches the stats. Kind of match the eye test too. So yeah, that was it was not. It wasn't good. And then, man, just the turnovers, man. It's that. is, you know, it's been an earmark of his performances. He just really doesn't turn it over. And there were some bad ones today. I mean, yeah, I mean, you had the one that was kind of was tipped. And so, you know, that happens. But yeah, it was not good.
So Dante Whitner at the end, he's be pretty hard on certain players. I think his criticism can lean a little harsh sometimes, but he said he thought some of Brock's throws were predetermined, meaning Brock wasn't reading the defense. Brock was choosing who to throw to based off of the preset looks, and thus was trying to force throws that weren't there. So I wanted to bring up this one, which was the Ronnie Bell throw. Now, I get why 49er fans immediately wanted to blame Ronnie Bell for that play. Brock is going to be here for a long time, we hope and believe. Ronnie Bell probably won't. He's not anybody who's, you know, opening eyes as a receiver when they actually really do need receiver play. He's actually the opposite. He's making mistakes all over the field. But there was the Niners had got a little bit of momentum, and Ronnie Bell is running a route, and he kind of gets pushed inside a little bit. He makes his break. Brock throws it somewhere else, which was kind of high, and it wasn't, you know, he didn't laser this one in, and it was picked off. And so I immediately saw the fan base just yell and scream for, you know, Ronnie Bell's NFL career to be over. And I rewatched the play and I thought, we're blaming the wrong guy. Like, this is not Ronnie Bell's fault. He's getting pushed off of his route. I'm assuming there is flexibility in his option on what route to run if that happens. And Brock's throw is actually the way that Ronnie Bell would have had to run that route. He would have kind of had to rainbow a little bit up the field, where Brock let it go. Now, some of the bad throw might be Brock throwing and going like, oh no, this ball is not going where I want it to go. And maybe there was some sail on it there. But I say that to say this, which is, I understand the fandom and us really, really hoping and pleading that Brock is going to be that guy. We've talked about this. This was a lot of our discussion last year, whether Brock was good enough to where 49er fans were already putting him on pedestals that only exist for in our fan base for quarterbacks who've won Super Bowls. And so I when I watch this stuff, Shelvin and I actually had a conversation. It was a civil debate, but it's fiery, it's passion, it's fandom. And I made my comment about why I thought it was Brock's fault. He thought it was, he didn't say it was Ronnie Bell's fault. He thought it was, you know, it's possible that it was either. We won't know. And we had this discussion and I said, look, the way that I was taught, you know, to watch this stuff is you praise when it's good and you criticize when it's not good. Like, that's how you're unbiased and fair. And so we had this sort of conversation about if you're a fan, like, how passionate should you be in maybe overstating some of the goodness, you know, versus criticizing even worse some of the best. So I, you know, I try and stay as far in the middle as humanly possible while still being a fan. And I think, you know, I think what I'm learning this year, which is we've been giving Brock his kudos because in 2 years he's gone to the NFC Championship and to the Super Bowl. And the only thing left from there is just to win the whole thing. But he's got two good years under his belt. He had comeback wins in the playoffs. He had a good Super Bowl performance, not a great one. And now what you want to see from him is the next level. But we can sit there and watch him and go, okay, for 2 years, he's a good quarterback. He should be better. He should be one of the elite guys. He should be the one who's making this team take it to the next level. And I still see some of the fan base kind of babying him in that way of like, oh, you know, our poor Brock, you know, people are so negative about him. I see it the other way. I feel like we're overly positive about him. And sometimes you got to pull it back to reality when he does have a game like this. He's not perfect, but he's also, you can see the difference between he and Mahomes. I thought that was very clear today.
Yeah. I mean, because you want to talk about an apples to apples comparison. For 2 years now, you look at Brock. I mean, look at Mahomes and what he's done with Travis and the Pips. You know, they won a champion. They won a championship last year with my guy who led the world in drops, and it was just, you know, he dragged him to us. And this year, look, I mean, Hollywood's gone. Now Rice is gone.
Mecole Hardman looks like Thurman Thomas against us.
I mean, it's crazy. And then Noah Gray. Who the hell is Noah Gray? I mean, it's really, really frustrating. But fortunately or not, that's what the mandate is for Brock.
Yeah.
When you make all that money, that's the concerning part. Is we have not won a championship, as I like to call them, with the Avengers. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen moving forward as those pieces are taken away, as CMC ages out, as George ages out, as Debo goes his own way, and now, you know, ACLs, we just kind of make them lightly, but the fact that, you know, if this is what that is for BA, again, when you make presumptively $55 million a year, the expectation for most quarterbacks is that you are an elevator. You are going to elevate the situation. And that has been the criticism, or not necessarily a criticism of mine, is that I just don't know. Is Brock the kind of guy who, regardless of who's around him, he's going to be able to, as he grows and develops, he's going to be able to raise the level of those guys around him? Or is he a better version of Jimmy G, who is going to be fine if all these guys around him are good, but he'll just be average if they aren't? So we're going to find that out probably sooner rather than later. If things go the way they are, is he going to be able to be the MVP candidate that everybody is telling me that he is? If Jacob Cowing and Ricky Purcell and Chris Conley are his, you know, secondary and tertiary. Now, look, it's my understanding that Debo is just an illness. So I'm sure he'll be fine.
He might have had the bubble guts today.
And JJ will be back, which we've seen him, you know, get his opportunity. And clearly he is more than just a number three receiver. So he will be counted upon. And George had a great day. I mean, the reports of his demise seem to be greatly exaggerated. So it's not like he is bereft of talent, even if CMC doesn't come back or isn't as effective when he gets back. I still hold out hope that when he comes back, he is the deodorant that will make this whole thing better. And maybe I am being overly optimistic in that assessment. But yeah, it is this. I watch ESP a lot, and, you know, they're always throwing around the panic button. And yeah, I don't know that I'm pressing the panic button yet, but I know if we don't beat that sad sack Cowboy team next week, that panic button might be, that it might be time to.
Well, the way I look at the Cowboys is the Chiefs have our number. We just have the Cowboys' number. Now, if they beat us next week, on Sunday night, then I think you may start having to ring the alarm bells on the season.
And I think that, you know, is just the way it sets up. If we lose to them and then have to go through a whole week of no football, but just have to sit on these last 2 weeks, it's not going to be a fun time in Ninerland for that bye week. So hopefully we can right the ship and pound those dudes like we like you say that they seem to be just what the doctor orders most times for us here recently.
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and hotel.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So another thing that I thought, I kind of mentioned this already. I thought the play calling in the first half was very vanilla and maybe defensive in a way. The way that they ended the first half with the third down run call, I was just like, oh my gosh, why don't you just bow at the altar of Spags on that play? Jeez. You know, that was really frustrating, kind of embarrassing, because we the way that we think of Shanahan as a play caller. I guess the other thing that I wanted to mention, and then I'll let you mention anything else that I haven't talked about. I thought the tackling was bad again. There were so many opportunities to blow up plays that they miss. And then the two embarrassing ones, the one down the sidelines with Mahomes where D Winters just like lets my man go and then makes a half-hearted dive. I was like, oh, that guy's getting cut. Now I don't want that. Like, he's a professional. He's got a family to feed too. But that was my initial instinct was, oh, you can't let that happen. And then this isn't really about tackling, but Mustafa, he had a pretty good game. I think it's third down, and then the Chiefs were maybe on the 2 yard line, and they run a crossing route where Mustafa gets behind the crossing route, so he lets it cut in front of him, so he kind of loses sight of Mahomes for half a second, and then Mahomes quarterback draws into the end zone, and Mustafa, he's about to hit him, sees that he's going to score, and kind of lets up, and Mahomes didn't let up. Mahomes threw a shoulder right in my man's chest and he went down like a brick. I was like, oh my God, that's got to be the most embarrassing thing to happen to him on the football field. He could not have felt good about that. But there were just small things where, again, it's like one of those things where you're like, we've played Kansas City, you know, over the last 5 years, like five different times. You think that at some point, you sort of understand the things that they do, and maybe you learn from previous experiences. That was one, again, where Mahomes just running. And this dude is not even fast. Like, he's not a fast runner. He's a very smart runner. He's got some little fakes here and there, but he is available to be hit. And I understand maybe not wanting to draw a penalty, but at some point, when he's making you look so foolish, I would have hoped that there was some aggression out there. It's just like, we gotta hit this guy. Maybe make him think twice about running. And they just didn't all game long.
8 missed tackles, according to the box score. I think it could have been more. And even guys like Fred Nick, I mean, it was just not a good tackling day. And like you say, with Mahomes, it was, you know, it very inopportune moments that we did not make those plays. And they directly led to big momentum plays for them. It was really frustrating. The only other two I have were didn't likes was, again, we're going to beat this to death, is just the red zone inefficiency. I mean, we just are not being able to get touchdowns. I mean, 2 field goals. It's just, again, to this week, it's just, you know.
The 2 touchdowns we did get, one was a true quarterback sneak. The second one was like a gimmicky quarterback sneak.
It was weird.
And it reminded me, there were moments post-Super Bowl with the 49ers in the 1994 Super Bowl, where Steve Young would do this play where he'd line up behind center and he would push the center out in front and he would just run behind the center and get like a quick 6 yards because they couldn't run the ball otherwise. They were having problems running the ball otherwise.
Yeah.
And that's what that reminded me of. I'm like, okay, we need this gimmicky play in the red zone because otherwise we can't score. And I don't know, you know, we've talked about it. It's like you got Kittle, who's very sort of utility kind of player because he can line up and do different things. Maybe with Debo, maybe that's a little bit better. I get it. When you have when you have Pearsall, Connolly, and Cowing as your 3 wideouts, and 2 of them can't even get off the line because they're so small and they just get pushed backwards. I get it. Like, there's, you have to do some gimmicky stuff. You didn't have JJ, who's kind of like the stork in the middle who can just, you can just throw it to his fingertips. So I think they're understandable today, and you kind of do what you have to do to score. But at the same time, again, I kind of wonder about Shanahan and the creativeness and like the putting guys out in space and the screen to Cowing. I like that. We didn't see any reverses. We didn't see any counters. Maybe that's not the style that you play with Kansas City, but there was just no variety whatsoever.
He seemed, again, and I don't, you know, maybe I'm just projecting because I'm not a play caller and don't pretend to be, but it just seemed like it was really tentative. It wasn't like we were being aggressive. He was being aggressive and trying to dictate what was going to happen. It seemed like he was playing defense on offense, which, you know, I don't know how. I mean, obviously that doesn't work against them. Maybe he just needs to go kind of YOLO when he's calling plays against these guys, because again, they just clearly, you know, have our number.
So the only thing that kind of came out of the presser was Shanahan did say that the interception that people were blaming on Ronnie Bell was Brock's fault. And Brock came out afterwards and said, yeah, you know, they both didn't really read each other, but it was his fault, which I expected him to. I don't think he's going to throw his young receiver, who's already probably suffering from confidence stuff, he's not going to throw him under the bus. But after he did throw that pick, he seemed to be pretty frustrated with Bell. And then the only other thing that I thought this was interesting. I actually really like Shanahan's demeanor. You could tell he was pissed. But he basically said he hoped that his team didn't really say a lot because there's nothing to say when you get your ass kicked like that. And so, you know, he took that one on the chin. And the other thing, and this comes from Tim Kawakami, where he said that
Yes.
A lot of times in the locker room after the game, Shanahan will kind of huddle up with certain players. And, you know, he would do it with Jimmy G from time to time. But he said he noticed, and this is just sort of Tim's own, you know, his own experience with this. He noticed that Shanahan was a little bit more maybe expressive with Brock, and maybe a little bit more. He spent a little bit more time with Brock after this game, which Tim hadn't seen prior. So I don't know if there's anything there or not, but and it's just a tweet. He didn't write this. It's not part of his story, but he did mention that on Twitter. So from the post game presser and all the post game stuff, that's basically the thing. What about the blame pie? Did you put together your blame pie?
I did. A big portion of it was Brock. I gave him a big 50% for the turnovers and near fumble. Again, it's just too many turnovers for, you know, against, you know, a team like Kansas City. And his accuracy just wasn't, you know, where it normally is. He forced the ball into coverage several times. It just wasn't his best day. Then 20% was the offensive line, 3 sacks, persistent pressure on Brock, and then the inability to create any sort of consistent, you know, room for the running backs in the running game. I mean, Jordan's per attempt, you know, at four yards looks good, but you take that 26-yarder away, and it's like, you know, 12 for 32. So it just wasn't very good. And then 20% for the missed tackles, allowing the big conversions, and then 10% for coaching. It didn't seem like he ever really got into the flow of the game. And too often we just found ourselves in particular situations, and it seemed like the in-game adjustment to what the Chiefs were doing was completely lacking. So that's on Kyle.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I guess we go to the Coach Singh player of the game. And let me get my little drop here.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
Could you imagine Coach Singh's post-game press conference after a game like this?
Again, Brock is way more productive than Alex ever was.
Yes.
I think the things that bothered Coach Singh about Alex aren't present with Brock. But that would, you know, their by play and interaction would be so very interesting, because it just seemed like him and Alex did not ever really see eye to eye. So that would be interesting. Especially,
I feel like he may have like grabbed Colton McKivitz by the shoulder pads and just pulled him in and just being like, "What are you doing, dude?" Like,
yeah, it was not good at all.
That's the maybe the most backbreaking of the picks was the one in the end zone. I have absolutely no idea where Brock was throwing. It looks like he got hit on that play as well. But like, it was almost like McKivitz was like, one Mississippi. Okay, let me get out of the way so you can attack my quarterback. Like, that's what it looked like. I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
Oh, on that play in particular, I mean, you can't make those jokes anymore with the preference with the prevalence of gambling. But it looked like he was point shaving. It really, it really did look like he, you know, like you said, you know, it was a looky block where he pretend like he was trying to block him, and he just let the guy go. It was very strange.
All right, I'm really interested in who your player of the game is, because there's not many people who played even, I would say, decently. We mentioned the two positives on my end, but go ahead. Who is your player of the game?
I thought it was clearly George. I mean, he was kind of the lifeline of the offense. I mean, if you take away his performance, I don't know, you know, what we're able to do. And say if he hits that one to him that we missed, I don't know that, you know, it definitely makes the score closer, but I don't know that. And then the missed extra point, I don't know. If we get those two, who knows where we're at. But, yeah, I just felt that George was the guy.
I agree with you. I think, you know, the Ricky Pearsall story is really nice. Mm-hmm. He didn't actually have the best game. But George was – I think George is the right pick there.
And I think, what was heartening to see, you mentioned it earlier, was that it was kind of, you know, circa – 2019, where he was, you know, effective deep downfield, like he was, you know, back in the heyday of Jimmy, which was the thing that made him stand out, was that, you know, he was, it wasn't like it was just over the middle. He was, you know, outside the numbers, able to make defenses pay. And I think I even mentioned that, a couple of weeks ago, that maybe that time had passed for him. So clearly I was wrong. He can still do that.
Yeah, he was, I mean, he had to have been the number one target for Brock once all those guys went out. And then, you know, what I was thinking about as well is, especially as they got closer to the red zone, I was like, oh, George is the one who's being doubled here. Like they're not afraid of anybody else. Once they got there, it was just George. That's probably the guy that they were just keeping their eye on.
Yeah, especially, you know, BA, especially once he went out, you know, they were the two most targeted. Actually, I didn't realize until I'm looking right now, Pearsall had 5 targets. But yeah, it was, you know, but he was, you know, 3 for 21. So it wasn't like he was threatening the defense really with his targets. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens moving forward.
We'll end it there. The Niners play the Cowboys next Sunday, Sunday Night Football. So that'll be a big game, and we'll come on after the game, as long as everything on your end is good. But I want to thank you for still doing this. I know your schedule kind of had a little bit of an emergency this weekend, and you still made it happen. So I appreciate you doing that. And
absolutely. I look forward to it. Yeah. I will definitely. I'll definitely be home in time to make sure that I am available for next week.
All right. I'll end with this big Leo comment. Once I saw Brock throw a pass to Pooney's helmet, I knew we were cooked. Shout out Big Leo. All right, I guess two things I wanted to mention before we get out of here. Moses Moody, breaking news, the Warriors re-upped Moses Moody today, 3 for 39. Brian and I will talk about that on the death lineup on Thursday. Warriors open up their season on Wednesday, and I did my first one on Friday night. We're going to simulcast the boxing and the MMA coverage that I do at Fight Game Media. We're going to simulcast that into BSPN, into the feed on YouTube and on the podcast feed. So if you are a boxing and or an MMA fan, you will hear some regular content around big shows and big fights. And so we'll have some of that in all of our feeds.
Nice.
For BSPN. So just a heads up, and look, it's an experiment. If people don't like it, I don't have to do it. But I was just thinking of ways to, to create more content for our feeds on this channel. So,
quick Warrior question.
Yeah.
Kuminga extension or no?
I think JK wants to be paid like the other guys around his draft position. I'm going to guess no, and then he's a restricted free agent next year. That's my guess, but they could be, you know, they could be playing for leverage, and I might be misreading it, but I think they have until Wednesday to do it.
Yep.
All right. All right, for Rod, I'm Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Hey, football fans. BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Your time and expertise are valuable, making Focus one of the most important resources to have at work. These days, professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, and it can be difficult to stay on task with all the emails and documents you have to get through. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, you can stay focused and quickly get through your work with relevant real-time suggestions wherever you write. It works across 500,000 apps and websites, so it can help with everything, from brainstorming presentation ideas to sounding more confident and persuasive in emails and reports. For 15 years, Grammarly has offered best-in-class communication support and enterprise-grade security on a business model that doesn't sell your data. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's Grammarly.com/podcast.